Yeah, we're not supposed to hear it out here. It was working before. Gabby, you want to come here with me? Okay, I'm back on. I don't have my phone Zoom, people, so if you can't hear, please put in the chat to hear everything's back on track. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. We've been working on a series about in Christ. And I have today's message and one more message I think that I want to do about who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. So this morning I want to give you a message called Our Promises in Christ. Our Promises in Christ. We need to know and believe all our promises in Christ so that we can be partakers of what Peter tells us in the of the divine nature, of the divine nature. I was reading, and it was recorded, that a man named Everett R. Storm read the Bible for 1.5 years. In that 1.5 years, he came up with 808,810 promises in which God had made promises in the Bible. Of that 8,810 promises, 7,487 promises was promises that God had made to mankind. So there's a lot of promises in the Bible. There's a lot of promises in the Bible. But of course, all the promises in the Bible don't belong to us. They're not ours. Some are exclusively for Israel. There are promises that God gave to the nation of Israel. But a majority of the promises in the Bible are promises that God gave to us, the church. I want us to look at Joshua 23:14 and 1 Kings 8:56. God's promises was first directed toward the children of Israel, most of his promises. Although he did promise he would never destroy the world again by water. But in Joshua 23:14, it says this. Joshua told the people this. He was getting old and getting ready to die. And he said, and now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass. Not one of them has failed. Then Solomon said this in 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by his servant Moses. So God is a God that keeps his word. God keeps his promises. And we're talking about our promises in Christ. Our promises in Christ. God has also not only given us promises in Christ that are promises for everybody in the body of Christ, but God gives us individual promises. He also gives us individual promises. 2 Peter 1:4 says this. Let us know that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through them we may be partakers of God's divine nature. We're going to talk about that a little later on. But God has given us precious promises. Precious promises, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through them we may be partakers of God's divine nature. Our promises in Christ. God's promises contain the power to unleash his divine nature on earth as in heaven. It's through his promises that that's done, through his promises. Because we are Christ, we belong to him, we're in him, he's in us. We are heirs to his promise. Galatians 3:29 tells us that. And as heirs, we have access to every promise by faith. We have access to every promise by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Dan. Thank you, Jesus. If we ask for what he has promised, he will only ever answer yes. Isn't that something? According to 2 Corinthians 1:20, make them a little loud. Damn, you turned me down. So, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. All the promises of God. That's scripture. I didn't write it. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Every promise answered brings God glory. Every promise that we receive an answer to, that we step into by faith, brings glory to God. It brings him glory. According to Romans 4, the most righteous thing we can do is be fully convinced that he will perform what he promised. Why would I say that? Because in Romans 4, 20 and 22, it said that Abraham, God gave Abraham a promise, and Abraham did not waver, but Abraham believed that what God had promised, he was fully convinced that he was able also to perform. He was fully persuaded. And therefore, it was accounted to him what? For righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. So the most righteous thing we can do is to believe the promise of God. Believe that what God has said he will do, he will do. Believe that what he said he has done, he has done. You see, promises like that. What God has said he has done, we got to believe it's done. What God has said he will do, we got to believe that he will do it. Our promises in Christ. What is a promise? What is a promise? I remember some years ago when the Holy Spirit arrested me and convicted me about my words and what I was saying. At that time, I did not know or wasn't walking in the fullness of keeping my own word. I would not think about what I was saying before I promised it, and then I couldn't do it. I would say I would do things and then do it. And so the Holy Spirit arrested me and said, okay, you got to be a person of your word. If you're not going to do something or you think you're not going to be able to do it, don't say nothing. But if you say you're going to do something, then to the very best of your ability, do it. And if you can't do it, let the people know why you can't do it. So I had to learn to be a person of my word, to let my word count for something, because the word of God counts for something. So what is a promise? What is a promise? What is a promise? What is God's promise to us? A promise is a self-committal, of self-commitment, you might say. A self-commitment. And it assures the person that when you commit, that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. And that's the way God is. God's promises are obligations that he imposed upon himself. God's promises are obligations that he imposed upon himself. He promised us certain things. And you know what about God? He didn't have to make those promises to us. But out of his love for us, because he loved us, in communion, Dan said, God is love. Because God is love, he decides. He promises things to us because he loves us. So God promises our obligation that he imposes upon himself for us. God's word itself is the same as a promise. God's word itself is the same as a promise. Our word is a promise. It's committing to do what we say we're going to do. And that's what God does for us. That's what God does for us. So we can trust the promises of God. We can stand on the promises of God. This is a saying that My daddy used to say, I think my husband said it too, we can bank on it. We can take it to the bank and draw it out, they used to say. So we can count on God's promises. We can stand on his word, count on his promise, and know that it's true. Isaiah 55, 8, 11 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. That's why our mind has to be renewed, because we don't automatically think like God thinks. Our thoughts are not automatically like his thoughts. Neither are our ways automatically like his ways. So we have to go through a transformation by the renewing of our mind in order to be conformed to the image of Christ. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is what God is saying. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing which I sent it. The word of God, we can bank on it. We can count on it. I often say we can always count on one another because we change. But we can count on the word of God because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Message translation says this, and I like the way it says it. So will the word that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. Y'all don't want to go somewhere and come back empty-handed. You tell your child, go bring something and bring it to you. They go, don't get it, come back, they empty-handed, they ain't got it. But the word of God is not like that. The word of God does not come back empty-handed. It accomplishes what it goes out to do. It completes the assignment I gave them. The word of God completes the assignment that the word of God was sent forth to do. So what are some of our promises in Christ? There's no way I can go over every promise in the word of God that are ours in Christ. So I just want to talk about a few of them. But what are some of our promises in Christ? What are they? We have the promise of forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Jesus. Are y'all glad y'all sins forgiven? Amen. Me too. God has given us a promise that our sins will be forgiven. In Acts 2, 38 and 39, Peter told the people, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord God will call. We already know God promised. God kept his word, don't we? We already know the promise of repentance and salvation is true because we repented. We received forgiveness of our sin, and now we are free. So we know God kept his promise, and he will keep his promise. He'll keep it. And we go give somebody the word of God, lead them to Christ, and tell them to preach the gospel to them. Let them know about repentance and receiving Christ. We know that if they believe and repent, they too will have forgiveness of sin. We can count on that. We don't have to worry about witnessing to somebody. We don't have to worry about giving them the goodness of the God because we know that God will keep his word. We have a promise of eternal life. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What is everlasting life? I think John 17:3 says eternal life is that we know God and his son. It's not joining the church. It's not being baptized. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing his son. Oh, it's good to know him, church. It's good to know the Lord. It is so good to know the Lord. It is so good to know him. We have the promise of abundant life. John 10:10, that's your scripture, Dan. Promise of abundant life. The word of God said, a thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that they might have may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. That's a promise. We have been promised abundant life. We can count on that promise. We can stand on that promise. We've been promised abundant life. And God always keeps his promises. His word does not come back void. His word does not come back empty-handed. He keeps his word. Then we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, y'all. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let me drink a little bit more water. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49 says this, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." The word of God promised us that we can receive the Holy Spirit. We knew that promise is true because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We that are here and on Zoom, we have received the Holy Spirit, so we have received the promise of the Spirit. And then God promised always to be with us. He promised to always be with us. And that's a promise that has blessed me so much through the years. Once I knew this promise, Hebrews 13:5. In Hebrews 13:5, it's quoted, the Father is saying, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise we have from the Father, that he will always be with us. Through Holy Spirit, he will always be with us. That the Holy Spirit will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be with us. When you're going through something, he's there. When you're not feeling well, he's there. When you have a trial or something come upon you, he's there. When you're suffering, he's there. When it's tough, he's there. When it's easy, he's there. But he will never leave us nor forsake us. Then he promised us answered prayer. He promised to answer our prayer. Matter of fact, he told the disciples, he said, "I've not told you up to now to pray to the Father in my name. But now I'm telling you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do. I will do." And then in John 5:13-14 says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And the word of God is his will. The word is his will. Every promise is his will. If he promised it, it's his will to do it. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If we know God hears us, we know we have our answer. And if we ask according to the word of God, we have our answer. We know. We know. And then he promised us the kingdom. Luke 12:32 says this, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In Christ, we have the kingdom. In Christ, we have been promised the kingdom. We have been promised the kingdom. We are king's kids. We are the king's kids. And then we've been promised healing for our bodies. Matthew 8:16-17. The latter part of the 16th verse says that Jesus healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." And that's a promise that has been kept. I've been healed by the word of God and by God's promise. He promised healing. I have been received healing. And I know others have received healing too. Because what? God has promised to heal our bodies. Then the next verse says, "Who himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree." It's 1 Peter 2:24. "Having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." We have been promised healing for our bodies. We've been promised healing for our bodies. Thank God for that. We have been promised the fact that we can be new creations, that we're new creation. God promised we are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creations. We are new because the word of God had promised that, and that was done in us at salvation. We have been promised freedom from sin's dominion. Romans 6:14 says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We have been promised freedom from the dominion of sin. That's what we've been studying in Romans. We've been promised that. We've been promised freedom from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but under grace. I remember when I read that scripture, I was so glad to know that. I have been struggling against sin, and I thought I had to keep resisting temptation and fighting to not do this and struggling not do this and struggling not do that. Then I found, okay, you're free. You don't have to struggle. You've been set free by Jesus. You're free from the dominion of sin. And once I knew that, all that struggle dropped off because I knew I had been freed from the dominion of sin. We have been given a sound mind. At my age, I need to quote this every day. 1 Timothy 1:7. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? A sound mind. We have been promised a sound mind. Doesn't say anything about age in there. I don't see it. Did y'all see anything about age in there? Me neither. So I've been promised a sound mind. No matter how old we get, we've been promised a sound mind. Psalms 35:27 says this. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. We have been promised that God will give us prosperity. He will give us abundance, life. And that life is not only in our spiritual life, but in our regular, in our physical life, and in whatever our financial life. But God has pleasure in prospering us. He has pleasure in our prosperity. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says this, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word of God is full of promises to us because every word of God is a promise. And God keeps his promise. He cannot fail. So how do we take hold of our promises in Christ? How do we get our faith to receive these promises? Let's go back to 2 Peter 1:2-4. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of who? Talking about God and Jesus, who called us to his own glory and excellency. Through the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. That word knowledge is epinosis. Epinosis means recognition, full discernment, seeing and knowing, acknowledgement, agreement. Of everything about Christ, everything about God, every promise. It's precise and correct knowledge. It often refers to knowledge which very powerfully influences the Christian life. If something you say you know is not affecting your life, then you don't really know it. You might have a mental accent to it, but you don't really know it. If it haven't changed you on the changed your soul and renewed your mind in a way that you act differently, then you really don't know it yet. That's what that word epinosis is. It often refers to knowledge which very powerfully influences our Christian life, like I just said. It expresses a more thorough participation in the acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. That means it's not automatic. It has to be us interacting with the word of God, knowing what God has given us, knowing every promise, taking that promise on the inside of us, and acting on that promise, walking in that promise, acknowledging that promise, being in agreement with that promise. It's a knowledge laying claim by personal involvement. By personal involvement. I can't just say I know something by quoting it. I can't say I know God by saying I know God. I can't say I've been healed by just saying I've been healed. Epignosis let me know I gotta not only say it, but I gotta possess it. I gotta walk in it. I gotta be it. It has to be evidence in my life for me to really have it by knowing it. By which, the next verse says, by which he has granted unto us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, through what? Through the promises, we may become partakers. We may become participators. We may participate in the divine nature, having escaped. I kind of looked that up, and that having, I don't think should be translated because other translations don't have that having in there. It's like it's saying that through the divine nature, we have become, through the promises, we may become partakers of the divine nature so that we can flee or escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So how do we escape the corruptedness in the world? By being partakers or by participating in what? The divine nature. The divine nature. If I participate in the divine nature through the promises I've been granted in Christ, then what does that do? I can escape sickness. I can escape poverty. I can escape disease. I can escape all of that because of every promise that God has given me. If I be a participator, if I participate and not just be a spectator and a quoter of the word, I got to participate. So why is it important to partake of his divine nature? So that we can share or participate in his, in all the promises that God has given us. Hebrews 6:11 says this, as we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. Don't become sluggish as you stand on the promises of God. Don't become sluggish. That you may become what? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We inherit every promise through what? Faith and patience. You can't just have faith. You got to be patient. You got to be patient. Things don't always work out today or tomorrow. That's why we got to have patience until we come get the full benefit of the promise, until it's all manifested. Thanksgiving increases our capacity to experience what is already ours in Christ. Trust in and depend upon the promise of God, because God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. He keeps every promise. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for every promise, because we have so many promises in Christ. We need to know every promise, God, so we can be participators of your divine nature. And so that we can receive and walk in every promise. You've given us so much. We need to have faith and patience. We need to know what you've given us. And then participate in what we need to participate in, receiving your divine nature in us, in our soul, even though it's in our spirit already, so that we can partake of what belongs to us, every promise that you've given us. So God, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for all those that are here today and those on Zoom. Father, we give you glory, give you praise, and we magnify your name. And God, we say thank you, Jesus. Have your way in us, God. 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 Have your way in us. And God, we love you. Thank you that you bless us to walk in love with each other in Jesus' name. And know that in the body of Christ, we are one. We are one. No matter who the other person in the body of Christ may be or who might disagree with them or whatever, God, because we're all in Christ, we are one in the body of Christ. We agree with your word, God, because that's what your word says. So, God, we thank you for every person in the body of Christ. We give you glory for every one of the believers, God, all our brothers and sisters. And, God, we thank you for that. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that every person in the body is needed. So, God, we give you glory and we give you praise for every promise. You promise that we will be one with you and one with each other. And so, God, we thank you for that. We receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Any prayer requests? We're going to pray for Dolores. Is Dolores on today? Okay. We're going to pray for you, Dolores, this morning, because I know you have that procedure tomorrow. Anybody think anybody else we need to pray for? Okay. Father God, we thank you for Dolores. We thank you, Father God, that she's supposed to go tomorrow and have her procedure done. And God, we pray that you be with her, be with the doctors, and everything be done according to your will, God, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that your will is healing for her.